Today's daf is Erev and Daf Ayin Beis, and we are at the Mishnah, 10 lines from the top of Daf Ayin Beis Amar Aleph. Today's daf is being learned as a Schos Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Zara Aliza, Ovadia ben Miriam Leah, Chayim Naftali Menachem ben Yendela, and Chaya Shena Malka Bas Masha. Today's daf is also being learned to Ilui Nishmas, Avram ben Yibadol, Chayim Toivim, Reb Moshe Chayim. Zok the Mishnah. Chamisha Chaburois, Sheshafsu, Betraklin Echa. There were five groups of people that spent Shabbos in a very large house. Beit Shammai says, Erev l'chol chabura v'chabura. We look at each group of people as being an individual group as it relates to Eruv v'chatzeros. And as a result, if you're going to make an Eruv v'chatzeros in the chatzer, you're going to have to count this traklin not as one chabura, but rather as five chaburos, meaning Erev l'chol chabura v'chaburbe. So Solo says, Erev echa l'kulam. No, even though there are five chaburos, but being that they're residing betraklin echad, the traklin is ma'ached the chaburos. We look at them not as five groups with regards to Eruv v'chatzeros, but rather we look at them as only one group. Moedim, Beis Hillel, and Beis Shammai agree, meaning there was no machlokes, was not shemitzas shurim bechadarim or ba'aliyos, in the event that these chaburos were living in different rooms or on different floors inside the traklin, shein tzrichen erev l'chol chabura v'chabura, then certainly each chabura would have to be meshtatef, each chabura would have to have its own erev. So we have a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and every time there's a machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, we know there's an intense gemara that's coming. But we have a machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel where there were five chaburos of people that spent Shabbos in the same traktan. Do we look at them as one group as it relates to Erevin, or do we look at them as five groups as it relates to Erevin? The Mishnah said, L'may nafkamino, let's say this traklin opens up into a chatzar, and there are other houses that open up into a chatzar. If you want to make a Eruv v'chatzeros, every bias has to have representation. So this traklin, one hishtatfus, or being that there are five chaburos, five hishtatfios. Beis Shammai says, Erev l'chol chabura v'chabura. Beis Hillel says, Erev echad l'kulam. Rashi says that there'd be another nafkamino in the machloikas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And that is, let's say they're not going to make a big Erev chatzeros. But let's say these five people want to be ma'arev, the house itself. So they five together are spending Shabbos in this house, and they want to make an Erev for the house. So do we look at them as five groups as a result, even to carry within the house from one room to the other, you would have to make an Erev? Or do you look at the traklin as one reshus? As a result, you wouldn't have to have the Erev, but really it's the same point. Same difference. Do you look at the five as being five individual residences? As a result, as it relates to Eruv v'chatzeros, these are five different reshuyos, or do we look at them as only one? Then the Mishnah said that in the event the five groups were residing in five different rooms or on different floors, then everyone's going to agree that you would have to have a separate Erev l'chol chabura v'chabura. So michlalav atashri me'ahen. So what do you see from the Sefer? That the Reish is talking about where they weren't spending Shabbos in five different rooms. Rather, they were in one open room, but there were mechitzos of some sort that was dividing them. Because in the event that they were in five rooms, if you would think of a conventional case like a hotel or a large house that has a bunch of rooms, then it would be pasha, we would look at them as five different groups. The only reason there's a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is because they weren't in five different rooms. Rather, they were in one large room, there was some divider in between the five groups, al zen nechleku Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. According to Beis Shammai, Erev l'chol chabura v'chabura l'chumra. Beis Shammai is always almost l'chumra. Beis Hillel says Erev echa l'kulam. Beis Hillel says you go l'kula. Zok to Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said machloikis b'mesipas. This machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel was only if these dividers that were dividing these five groups in this one big open room wasn't a real mechitza. Meaning it was, number one, not 10 tefachim tall, and number two, it was made up of some inferior quality. Meaning it's not something that's considered a mechitza in halacha. It was something very bidiyevet that was dividing the groups. It's over there that Beis Hillel said his shita, that even though there's dividers between the five chaburas, we look at them as one big group. Aval b'mechitza asara, if you would have a mechitza that's 10 tefachim tall, debi akol, erev l'chol chabura v'chabura, everybody would agree that we look at them as being separate groups, and as a result, each one would have to have its own representation with regards to Ruf HaKatzitz. Ikadami, some say Yom Rav Nachman, Afba Mesichas Machloikus. No, a completely different Gersa. But rather, Rav Nachman said that the Machloikus is not only Bim Mesipus, but rather the Machloikus is even Bim Mesipus. Meaning, Bishan Bissol argued whether the Mechitza was an inferior Mechitza, or whether the Mechitza was a proper Mechitza. Either way, we have the same Machloikus Bishan Bissol, whereas according to Bishan, we look at it as five, according to Bissol, we look at it as one. Zokta Gemara, there was another discussion amongst the Amoraim as to understanding this machloikis between Bishan and Bissel. Please, but Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Chadam, once the machloikis, machloikis, Bishan and Bissel was the mechitzas and Magi'is L'tikra. If these mechitzas went from the floor all the way up to the ceiling, Avod, the mechitzas, Shem, Magi'is L'tikra, but if the mechitzas didn't go all the way up to the ceiling, Divrei HaKol, everybody would agree, meaning even Bishamai would agree, that Erev Echel Kulam, that one Erev would be enough. The Chadam and the other one said, machloikis be mechitzas, Shem, Magi'is L'tikra. Punk faket. The machloikis is dafka, where the mechitzas didn't go all the way to the top. Avo mechitzas amagiyas l'tikra. If the mechitzas would go all the way to the top, divrei hakol, everybody would agree. Tzrich and erev l'chol chabura v'chabura. Meaning, even Beisul would be moida that the five groups would be considered five. So we had a pretty straightforward machlokes between Beisham and Beisul and the Mishnah stating that. In the Gemara, we have four shittas as to what the fine print is with regards to this machlokes. Clearly, we're going to make an akimta. The question is, what is the akimta? We had the first Lashon of Rav Nachman, the second Lashon of Rav Nachman, and then a Machloikas Rav Chiya and Rav Shimon bar Rebbe. We don't know who said what, but we know what the two shitas were. So again, just the Chazer, Baal Peh. So what exactly are these four different caveats to the Mishnah? Rav Nachman, in the first Lishna, said that the Machloikas Bishan Bissel was only if there was an inferior divider in between these groups. There was a Mesipas, meaning it wasn't a real Mechitz, it wasn't 10 Tefachim tall, it wasn't made up of a proper quality. It's over there that there's a Shitas Beis Hillel that says that we look at the five as being one. But if you would have a Mechitza, sorry, everybody would agree that you look at the five as being five. The second Lishna of Rav Nachman was Punkt Faker. Af b'mesipas machloikis. The machloikis was not only b'mesipas, the machloikis was even by mesipas. Meaning, even by mesipas, Beis Shammai holds his shita that it's a good divider, and we look at the five groups as being five. But you want to know the machloikis Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, the machloikis was b'mesipas, the machloikis was by a proper mechitza. Either way, they argued. Then Rabbi Chiya bar and Rav Shimon bar Rebbe, they too had a machloikis with regards to the machloikis b'sham. So again, we don't know who said what. What were the two shitas al kapanim? The first shita was that the machloikis b'sham b'sil was dafkif the mechitzas v'magiyas l'tekra. They went all the way from floor to ceiling. If they didn't go from floor to ceiling, everybody would agree. One area for everybody, meaning b'sham would be murdered to b'sil. V'chadam, and the other one said just the opposite. Machloikis was dafkin when the mechitzas were not magiyas latikro. But if they were magiyas latikro, that's a real divider. Everybody would agree, meaning even Beis Hill would agree, that you need an erev l'chol chabur v'chabur. So the Gemara is going to do a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit of cheshbinning on Amud Beis. But first, we have these four different qualifications to the Mishnah. Obviously, they don't agree with each other. So says the Gemara, meisavei l'chura, this big shaila amongst the Amiram, the first lishur of Nachman, the second lishur of Rav Nachman, Rabbi Chiya bar Shimon bar Rebbe, it would seem to be a mefurish b'raisa. Amar Rabbi Yehuda HaSabar. Rabbi Yehuda HaSabar said, "Lenechu b'sham b'sol mechitzah magiyas l'tikra shetzrichen erev v'chabur v'chaburah." There was never a machayz b'sham b'sol as it relates to mechitzah instead of magiyas l'tikra. Meaning, everybody agrees that these are proper mechitzahs and it divides the rishos. Amar nechlu, what was machloikis? Al mechitzah she'ein magiyas l'tikra. The machloikis was the mechitzahs didn't go all the way to the top. Shebisham yoyim erev v'chabur v'chaburah. Beit Shammai says, in that case, you need a chabura. You need an era for each chabura individually, even though the mechitzos are not magiyas l'tikra. Being that it doesn't go all the way to the top, one erev would be enough. Now, this is a caveat to the machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, a pirish, a commentary to the machloikis Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, that's from one of the Tanan, Amar Rabbi Yehuda HaSaper. And he said one of the four that we mentioned in Ramad Aleph, the fourth one. And that is the machloikis was dafka, where the mechitzas are ein magiyos latikra. But if the mechitzas were magiyos latikra, over there everybody would agree, there would be no shitas beisil. Everybody would agree that these are proper dividers. So the Gemara does the cheshbon. Lamando ama b'mechitzas magiyos latikra machloikis, according to the third caveat that the Gemara brought on Amud Aleph, the man Dama that said, we don't know if it's Rav Chiya or Rav Shimon bar Rebbe, but the man Dama that said the machlokes is b'mechitzas amagiyas l'tikra took tiufta. This is checkmate. This is mefurish not that way. It says clearly the machlokes is b'mechitzas she'ein on magiyas l'tikra. But if it's magiyas l'tikra, everybody agrees, which is exactly the antithesis of what that mandam said. Ula mandam b'mechitza she'im magiyas l'tikro machloikis tikro. The mandam that says that the machloikis is b'mechitza she'im magiyas l'tikro siyato. This is a mefurish araya. This is clearly a support from one of the Tanan, Rabbi Yehuda HaSaber, to the fourth qualification that the Gemara brought on Amud Aleph. Zok the Gemara, Vayiter lahach l'shadom Rav Nachman. According to the first lishur of Nachman that said machlokes b'mesipas, that the machlokes b'sham b'sul is dafka by mesipas tiufta. It's also a tiufta. Why? So this is not as head-on, but it's also very intuitive. Because what was the first Rav Nachman? He said the Beisil only said his halacha b'mesipas. If you don't have a proper mechitza dividing the groups, that's when you have the shittes Beisil, we look at it as one group. But the moment you have a mechitza, that's not going to be the case. You see in this price, not that way. Because you see that if there are mechitzas that are not magias letikra, over there, there's a machloikis between Beisham and Beisul. Beisul said it's halacha. Sure, Beisul didn't say the halacha with the mechitzas of Magiyas Latikra. But if the ain't a Magiyas Latikra, he said halacha. What do you mean? I thought Beisul never said halacha. There's a mechitza. The Teretz is even by a mechitza, Beisul said halacha. Mesipas is the opposite of mechitza. So if Rav Nachman is gerech, that the only time Beisul said the shita is b'mesipas, but the moment it's a mechitza, there's no shita Beisul. How do you understand Rabbi Yehuda HaSaber? He said the machloikis was b'mechitzas, albeit shalom. But the point is, you see, clearly not like the first Rav Nachman either. So this is a raya to the fourth shita that we had on Amud Aleph. It's a tiyufta on the third. It's also a tiyufta on the first. Says the Gemara. What about the second? L'hach l'shon d'amar Rav Nachman, according to the second l'shon Rav Nachman, who said af bin mesipas machloikis, that the machloikis was bin mesipas, but also not b'mesipos, meaning af b'mesipos machloikis, meaning whether you have an inferior mechitza or you have a proper mechitza. Either way, there's machloikis b'sham b'sul. Emet yav tiufta? Is this a tiufta? Meaning, do you see from this, Rabbi Yehuda HaSaber, not like that shita? Now, the truth is, at first glance, why would you see not like that shita? I mean, there's nothing here that blatantly contradicts that halacha. What's did Rabbi Yehuda HaSaber say? He said the machloikis b'sham b'sul was when you had mechitzos that were not magiyas l'tikra. Okay, what did Rav Nachman say in the second lishna? There was a machloikis b'mechitzos and there was a machloikis b'mesipas. Mechitzos, maybe with mechitzos were not magiyas l'tikra. There's no tiyufta from here. Mesipas, Price didn't even say anything about mesipas. So what's the problem? So that's why the Gemara is not sure if there's a tiyufta. So what's the tzad that the Gemara has that it should be a tiyufta? Because if Beis Shammai said their halacha even b'mesipas, af b'mesipas is a chiddush in Beis Shammai, right? So if Beis Shammai said the halacha even b'mesipas, meaning even when you don't have a real mechitza, even then Beis Shammai says we look at the five chaburas as being five groups, then why did Rabbi Yehuda HaSaber say that the machloikis Beis Shammai b'sul was b'mechitza ish in magiyas l'tikra evol kedav zogin agresser a chiddush that Beis Shammai said the halacha even b'mesipas? He should have spoke out. He should have read adarich not only b'mechitza ish in magiyas l'tikra but b'mesipas as well. But then maybe not. Meaning, it's not a head-on collision like we had in the first listener of Nachman and the third pshat that the Gemara brought on Amud Aleph. But then again, it's a little mashma, not like that pshat. So zok the Gemara, b'loshin bitmiyo, le'emo tiyave tiyufto, Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman and the second listener could defend this position. You could say, no, pligi b'mechitza, but who atem b'mesipas? The Bryce is discussing the machloikis b'mechitza. The same is true b'mesipas. It's only if it's ena magiyas l'tikra. Hi, the komifligi b'mechitza. So you'll ask me a question. Why didn't the Bryce mention anything about mesipas? Why is it talking about mechitza? Because we wanted to say the bigger chiddush in Beis Hill. To say that the machloikis b'sham Beis Hill was said by mesipas would be a bigger chiddush in Beis Shammai. That even the mesipas, where it's not a real mechitza, Beis Shammai holds we look at it as fine. To say that the machloikis is even the mechitza is a bigger chiddush in Beis Hill. That even when you have a proper partition, even then Beis Hill says you look at it as one. So you want to know why we didn't mention mesipas? You're right, in Beis Shammai it would have been a bigger chiddush, but we're trying to say a bigger chiddush in Beis Hill. Faith the Gemara, but if we keep in Mesipas, why are you saying a bigger chiddush in Beis Hill? Shouldn't you better say a bigger chiddush in Beis Shammai? Now, at first glance, you would say, what do you mean? We paskin like Beis Hill. We don't paskin like Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai, b'mokim, Beis Hill, ain't a Mishnah. But that's the Gemara's kasha, and the Gemara answers what it often answers when it asks a question like this. Koyach der Teira Adif. That any time we have a machloikis and we want to say either the bigger chiddush of the Machmer or the bigger Chiddush in the Mekel, we always say the bigger Chiddush of the Mekel. And the reason is, because it's a bigger kunst to be a Mekel, than it is to be a machm. It's very easy to say everything is treif and nothing is good. To be a mekel, that's koyach de'atera adif, and therefore the Tana always liked to say the koyach de'atera. The koyach de'atera is to say that Basil, who's the mekel in the Mishnah, who looks at this as one rishus as opposed to five rishuyas, said that we look at it as one rishus, even if you have a proper mechitza. That's why we're talking about mechitza. That's why we're not talking about mesipas. Tosfos asks, how come the Gemara or the Brice of Rabbi Yudah Saber didn't talk sai about Mesipas and sai about Mechitza? Why can't we just talk about both? Say the Chiddush and Beishamai, say the Chiddush and Beisil, Ayin Toysus. Either way, Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rav, Halach Rabbi Yudah Saber. So Rav Nachman said in the name of Rav that the Halach is like Rabbi Yudah Saber. Again, who said that what? That the Machloikis Beishamai Beisil was Dafka. But if the mechitzos were magiyas latikro, even Beisul is going to be made. So Nachman Yitzchok, I have a dig from the Mishnah. What did the Sefer the Mishnah say? That Beisul is made at the Beishamai, that in the event that you have five chaburas that are spending Shabbos in one traklin, but each chabura is spending Shabbos in a different room or on a different floor, over there everybody is going to agree that you would that we look at them as separate reshuyos, and they would each have to contribute to the Erev equally. Says the Gemara, my chadarim or my aliyas. What does the Mishnah mean when it says chadarim and aliyas? Ilim chadarim, chadarim, mamnish, v'aliyas, aliyas, mamnish, doesn't mean to be taken literally. Pshita. What's the havamina? You have a havamina if you have five families staying in a hotel, that we look at them as five families as it relates to Eruv HaChatzeres as opposed to one. Who would say not that way? That's Pashit. El Olav, you know what the safe of the Mishnah probably means? Not chadarim and aliyas literally, but rather ke'en chadarim. And Kain Elias, there was five chaburos. They spent Shabbos in the same traklin, and they resided in a way that it was as if they were in separate rooms. You know what it's talking about? They were mechitzas, not rooms. My new mechitzas that were magiyos latikra. They went all the way to the top, or at least within a sheer lovot. It went almost all the way to the top. That would be enough for it to be magiyos latikra. Bottom line is, Shmami no, it's a mefurish of Mishnah. It's not mefurish, it's a deikonami. But you see a diuk from the Mishnah to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda has Sabar, which you almost often always do, and that is that Beis Hillel would be moided to Beis Shammai b'mechitzes ha-magiyas l'tikra, which reinstates or supports the caveat of Rabbi Yehuda Saber, which was the fourth caveat that the Gemara mentioned on Amud Aleph, that the machloikis b'sham b'sul was dafka b'mechitzos she'enon magiyas latikra. But if it's magiyas latikra, then it's ke'en chadorim, it's ke'en aliyos, and the kaigavna daloch is that b'sul is going to be moida zok de Gemara. So we just mentioned a mahaloch and how to understand the machloikis between b'sham and b'sul, four caveats that are not talking to each other. And at the end of the day, one of the four caveats seems to be the one that reigns. And that is Rabbi Yehuda Saber, the fourth of the four that was mentioned on Amanah. But what was the machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beisil? Very simple. You have five chaburis. They spend Shabbos in one traklin. They're not spending Shabbos in five different rooms. They're in one open area. They made some sort of mechitza. The question is, do we look at them as five or do we look at them as one? Do they have to make an Erev amongst each other if they want to carry from one area to the other? What about if they're going to make a Ruvi Chatzeres with all the people in the Chatzer? Five contributions? Pro rata, only one, right? That's the question. Beis Shammai said five, Beis Hillel says one, and then we had a whole bunch of discussion as to what exactly the Nekudas HaMachloikis is. But in terms of what the high-level Machloikis is, with his partitions, do we look at them as five, or do we look at them as one? Stating that, a whole nother understanding of what this Machloikis might be. Tana, there was another Brice that said as follows. Bamet varam amurim, with regards to the Machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, when was this Machloikis? Kishamaylichin, Esei Ruven, Lemakemacher. When the Beis Shammai said their halacha that you have to have five, that's if the Eruv that's going to be made in this chatzer is not going to be placed in this traklin, but it's going to be placed in one of the other houses in the chatzer. Avalim hoye eruvim ba'etz lot. But if the eruv was going to be in their house, divrei hakol, everybody agrees, eruv echad l'kulam. There's no machloikis. Everybody agrees. Meaning even Beis Shammai agrees that all you're going to need is one. We're not going to look at them as five separate groups, but rather what we're going to do is we're going to look at them as one group. So a braisa that again is qualifying Shitas Beis Shammai, but very different than the way we've seen it until now. We're saying that it's not totally in the mechitza, how tall it is, how strong it is, how firm it is. It goes all the way to the roof. No, it's something else. The point over here is that where exactly is the eruv being placed? If the eruv is being placed outside, not in this traklin, that's when Beishamai holds you have to have five. But when the eruv is going to be placed inside this traklin itself, then even Beishamai is going to be murdered, you're going to have one. So Rashi says, so long Rashi, if you want to see it inside, Abazokte, look at Rashi, outside, you have to say that really Beishamai agrees to the way we understood Shitas Bissel up until this point. And that is five chaburas that are spending Shabbos in one traklin, we look at them as one group. And if we look at them as one group, there's no question that in terms of technically being mishtatif, really we would look at them as one. So if they want to carry amongst each other, they don't have to make an eruv chatzeres. Stating that, here's the chiddush, here's the knetch. The knetch is we look at them as one, but not as one big happy family. We look at them as if they're five chaburos that made an eruv with each other. So we look at them as one. The bottom line is it's one. But not one as if it's just one family, right? There's no havamina that if you want to carry from your living room to your kitchen, you don't have to make a ruv chatzeres. It's one rishus. So it's not pshat we look at them as one rishus in the sense that it was always one, that it's echad. But rather, we look at it as if it was really five, but they made an eruv. Without making an eruv, we look at them as if they made an eruv. Says Rashi, Beishamai is of the opinion that if you have five people that come together and they make an eruv, and now they want to be ma'arav with another group. What's the classic example? We've seen this so many times recently in Masechtas Eruvin. We have a chatzah that has five families that live there. They made a ruvi chatzeres. This chatzah happens to be neighbors with another chatzah. There's a door that goes from one chatzah to the other. And they want to be ma'arav now with the other chatzah. So here's the question. Do you need to go now and collect from each one of these five people to be mishtatif with that Erev? Or maybe there could be one representative. Because once we created this union via the Erev, so maybe everybody is one, so there could be one shliach on the group's behalf. He can go ahead and do it. Beis Shammai is of the opinion that it depends, as it relates to the Shiloh, where the Erev is going to be. If the Erev is going to be on my home turf, so then one Erev is fine. If the Erev is going to be in Yenim's Chatzar, then you would have to have representation for each individual. That is the Yisrael of Beisham. You don't want to know when Beishamai said their halacha. That we look at the five chaburos as if they're five. Hacha b'mayaskinon. Where they were making a Ruvi Chatzaris in the one Chatzar. Again, it's not two chatzeres in our Mishnah's case. We're just applying the halach of two chatzeres. It's really one chatzer. Why is it like two chatzeres? Because we're viewing the one traklin as if it's its own little entity, as if they never made an eruv, but it's as if they made an eruv. And now if you're going to place that eruv in one of the other houses, it's as if you're placing it now from chatzer A to chatzer B. The point is, when you put it into another chatzer, so then you would have to be goyver from each individual. That's when Beis Shammai said his halacha. You want to know when Beis Shammai said that you have to have five? It's kishamoyli. But let's say the Erev would be by them, and then everybody agrees, no shaila in the world, you wouldn't need five, all you would need is one. So why does Beisul argue? So what's Beisul's shita? Beisul obviously disagrees with this halacha. Beisul, if this is the point of Shitas Beis Shammai, then that's the nekuda where Beisul argues. And Beisul holds that the halacha is if you have a chatzar, five people, they came together and they made a ruv chatzeres, and now they're placing the eruv in another chatzar, all you need is one person to do it on everybody's behalf. You don't need that each individual should be mishtatif. That's why Beisul holds in this parallel case, that even if you accept all these hanachas that Beis Shammai made, you want to look at the five people as if they made an eruv, and now they're going to make a regular ruv chatzeres within their chatzar, it's as if they're this group is now moving somewhere else. It's true, Beis Shammai holds you would have to be goyver from each one. Beis Shammai holds you don't have to. That's why, according to Beis Shammai, we look at them as one group. Bottom line is, this is really a mefurish b'raisa. We saw this earlier. That five people made an eruv chatzeres, and now they want to make an eruv chatzeres with another chatzer. So the halacha is that they have to go, one person can do it on behalf of everybody. You don't have to collect from each individual. Who's that going like? So we just said it's machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai is the one that said, no, all five, that's Beis Shammai's five in the Mishnah. Beis Shammai said, one must be, come on, get Beis Shammai, is going according to Beis Shammai. The Ikka da Amri, there's one more Lishnah, and how to understand this machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Shammai, very similar, but the opposite. And that is, Bamed Devarim Amurim, Kishoye Erebah Etzlot. Machloikis Beis Shammai and Beis Shammai, again, was not with regards to the mechitzas. They are mechitzas, they're not mechitzas. We look at all the five chaburas that are residing in this traklin as if they're one big chabura. Stating that, we look at them as if they made an eruv with each other. So they're like five people that live in a chatzar that made an eruv chatzeres. Beis Shammai says, stating that if they're going to be ma'ariv now with the other people in the chatzah, we look at them as five. Beisul says one. In the first Lishna, we said that the machloikis, meaning when the Beis Shammai say five, is if they're going to put the Erev in somebody else's house. In the Ikadami, it's just the opposite. If the Erev is going to be by them. If the Erev is going to be someplace else, everyone agrees you have to have an Erev l'chol chabur. Everyone holds that in this case, you would need one for everybody. That means everybody holds. If five people living in a chatzah make a ruvah chatzeres, and now they want to be ma'ariv with the neighboring chatzer, each person would have to contribute. So if that's the case, who's the tanya of the following price? If five people together collected an eriv, they made a ruvah chatzeres. If they now want to take that eriv and bring it into another chatzer, eriv echal akulon, all you need is one person to do it for everybody. Not everybody has to contribute. Kaman, who's that like? It's like nobody. Because now we're saying that not only is Beis Shammai hold of that, Beisul holds of that. The only time Beisul says one is when you're bringing the Erev to them. But if you're going to bring the Erev outside, everybody holds you would need each person to be Mishtatif. If that's the case, this Braisa that we've seen quoted earlier in the Masechta is not going to work out according to anybody exile. So again, so we had a Mishnah that mentioned the machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beisul, five chabures that spend Shabbos in a traplet. Do we look at them as five regarding Eruv HaChatzeres, or do we look at them as one with regards to Eruv HaChatzeres? Beis Shammai's machmer, he says, we look at them as five. Tzrichan Erev L'Cholecha V'Echad. Beisul's Mekel, Beisul says, we look at them as only one. What exactly is the machloikis? So from a high level, two mahalchim, how to understand the machloikis. Either they're arguing in Hilchas Mechitzos, meaning everyone agrees if they spent Shabbos in five different rooms, there's no question we would look at them as five chaburis. The question is, what if they're in one big room that's divided by mechitzas? Do we look at them as five groups? Do we look at them as one group? Beis Shammai sheet is, we look at them as five. Beis Shul sheet is, we look at them as one. That's one general approach to how to understand the Machloikis Shammai Yisrael. Another general approach to how to understand the Machloikis, no, everybody agrees that we look at them as one group. However, the gather of this one group is, we look at them as if they became one through an Erev. Even though they didn't make an Erev, we look at it as if they became an Erev. It's like Chamisha people that live together on one Chatzah, they made a Ruvi Chatzeres. What then is the Machloikis? The Machloikis is now if they're going to make a proper Erev with the other Bnei Chatzah, does each person have to contribute or not? And this is really totally in a much bigger Machloikis. When one Chatzah makes a Ruvi Chatzeres and now they want to be Ma'arev with another Chatzah, do you have to collect from each person individually? Or do you not have to collect from each person individually? So it's not a question in Hilchas Mechitzos. It's more of a question when one Chatzah that already established themselves as a union via this Erev, now they're being Ma'arev with another Chatzah, so could one represent all of them, or does each person have to get involved individually? This is from the high level. Once you get into the finer print, so then we had four caveats in terms of the first Mahalach, Rav Nachman and the Eshta Lishna, Rav Nachman and the Tzveta Lishna, or Machloikas and Rav Chia, Rav Shimon Barebi, ultimately Rav Yehuda HaSabar, the Halachak Rav Yehuda HaSabar, and in terms of the second approach, there too, we had two Lishonos, whether they were arguing Dafka with the Erev was put in a different house, or they're arguing dafk if the Erev was put in their house. You had a bunch of brothers that lived together in the same chatzah. This is a bunch of family members. They all live together in the same chatzah. They live in their own houses. The details are very important. However, they all were soymech al shulchan aviyah, meaning their father was supporting them. But they slept in their own house. Each person has to make his own erev. Meaning, there would have been a hava mina that being that these children are soymech al shulchan aviyah, so maybe they're incorporated, they're included in their father's erev. So if the father makes an erev, why would they have to make their own erev? Kamash malon, that we look at them as individuals, and each person has to have his own lefichach. So for that reason, if one of them forgot to make an erev, mevatlos reshus, he'll have to be mevatlos reshus. Because if he's not mevatlos reshus, it doesn't matter that his brother made an erev, it doesn't matter that his father made an erev. At the end of the day, each person is viewed individually, each person would have to make his own erev. But again, you have to read the fine print. A masar. When is this? That's only if the Erev was not in the father's house. But if the Erev was in the father's house, or if there's no one that lives in this chatzar other than the family, in that case, they would not have to make an Erev. This is a very important caveat, and the Gemara is going to get into it in tomorrow's up. But just as it relates to understanding the Mishnah, what the Mishnah essentially is saying is that really, really, mi'ikar adin, brothers that are all soymech al shulchan aviyem should not aser each other. And from an eruvi chatzeres standpoint, they really shouldn't have to make eruvi chatzeres. However, once there are other people living in the chatzer, the Gemara invokes the principle of migu, not the choshem mishpat migu, but the issa the heter migu. There's a svara that once we need to make a ruva chatzeros. Why? Because there are people that are not mishpacha. So once we say that the non-mishpacha aser each other, we say the mishpacha aser each other as well. So the Mishnah started off with halacha, achin shal yo'ochel ha'shulchan aviyim, v'yashena bebateim, tzrichin erev l'chal echad ve'echad. But then you have to read the fine print. It's not so fine. It's the Mishnah. A Masai, the only time this is true is if there's going to be an erev without them. But if there's not going to be an erev without them, in that case, this halacha is not going to be relevant. In that case, being that the soymech ha'shulchan aviyim, we look at them as one happy family, even though they live in separate houses. However, when they is going to be an erev regardless, then we say that even though they live in separate houses, or precisely because they live in separate houses, I should say, even though they're soymech al shulchan aviyem, the halacha is they would have to be mishtatif in there. So the bottom line is if there are other people that live in this chatzer, what's the halacha? All the brothers, even though they're soymech al shulchan aviyem, have to be mishtatif in there. Zok de gemara, shma mina. L'chayr, from this mishnah, we should be able to be poshet a major machloikis between Rav and Shmuel, and that is mokim lina gairin. So we're going to see briefly, at the very end of the daf, that there was a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. How does a person define his residence as it relates to Eruv Chatzeres? Let's say a person is going to sleep in one house on Shabbos, but he's going to be eating in another house. Mokum pita gairim or mokum lina gairim? The place that you eat, is that your residence with regards to Eruv Chatzeres? Or is the place that you're going to sleep, is that considered your residence? Rav says mokum pita. Shmuel says, Makam Lina, Zakti Gemara, L'chura, this Mishnah, Shmami no Makam Lina Gairim. It certainly sounds like it's Makam Lina. Why? Because if you're going to tell me it's Makam Pita, then what's the shaila with the brothers? Then Zichah not a problem. They're all eating by their father. So if they're all eating by their father, so then it's Pashit that they should be looked at as one group. Why do you need other people, not other people? Miku, it's Pashit. At the end of the day, based on the kitzur Shulchan Aruch of how a Eruv Chatzeres works, it should be very, very obvious that this is the way it is. Why? Because Berega, they're all eating in the same house, so that's their residence. Elamai, isn't this a raya to Shita Shmuel that says, Makam lina gairim? I'm Rav Yehuda Merav. So Rav Yehuda Merav said, B'mekable prashanu. It's not muchach, meaning there's no hechrich to say that this is a right to Makablina, because who said they're all eating in their father's house? Maybe the Makabli Pras, meaning maybe the father is paying for their meal, but they're not necessarily eating in their father's house. So if they were eating in their father's house in El Hanami, then the Makam Pita is the father's dining room table. But if they're just being supported by their father, but they're eating in their own house, so the Makam Lina is their house, the Makam Pita is their house, you have absolutely no right to the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel from our Mishnah. Tanu Rabbanan Mishnah Yesh Lo Beis Shaar. If somebody has a Beis Shaar, so this is a hut that the Shomer HaChatzer had at the entranceway of the Chatzer. Achsadra, or you have an Achsadra, so that's an abode that doesn't have a roof on top. Umar Pesa, it's self-explanatory. B'chatzer Chaveiro, in somebody else's Chatzer, said Allah Chazareza Ene Yisrael. It's not considered a significant residence, and it doesn't play a role, doesn't get involved in the laws of Chatzeris. Beis HaTeven, what if somebody has a storage house where he keeps straw? Ubeis habakar, cattle, beis ha'etz and wood, beis ha'oitzris, he stores different foods. Hareza oitzir olav, sedid halach is, it does aser. Why? Because that's already chashav. Yehuda says, ein ha'yoitzir ela makam dira bavad. No, the latter group, beis ha'teven, beis ha'bakar, beis ha'etz and beis ha'oitzris, even though they're chashav, but at the same time, it's not a makam dira. Nobody lives there. You store things there, but you don't live there. I mean that you don't live there, it doesn't count. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, as he often did, brings a raya from Maisa. Maisa beben Nafcha. There's a story of Ben Nafcha. Shayyul Chamish Chatzeres Usha. He owned five houses and five different Chatzeres in Usha. Uba Maisa lefnei Chachamim. And he came to the Chachamim and he said, what do I do with the Eruv Chatzeres? But they told him, Ein Yosef, El Beis Dira Bavad. Only a Beis Dira, a place where somebody can live, that has Beis Dira. So Gadaitach. But Yehuda says, even a Beis Dira? Rabbi Yehuda is the machmer here. Even the Tanakhama said a beis dira is not enough. What's a beis dira? A place that somebody could live. Like a beis shar, a chsadra, a peset. That would be called a beis dira. I thought Rabbi Yehuda is coming to be even more machmer. Whereas the Tanakhama said beis hateven, beis habaka, beis etz, beis oitzris, is oyser olav. Rabbi Yehuda says even that's not oyser olav. And now he's saying that even a beis dira, even what the Tanakhama said is not good, is good. Mar says, right. Ela'ema makam dira. Not beis dira, makam dira. Meaning a makam chasha. But the bottom line is, so we have a machlois in Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether beis hateven, beis habaka, beis ha'etz and beis ha'oitzrois, are those considered batim to aser for Eruv Chatzeres or not? According to the Tana Kama, yeah, Hareza Oyser Olav. Rabbi Yehuda said, Enoi Oyser Ela Makim Dira Bavad. Zok the Gemara, my Makim Dira. What is a Makim Dira? Rav Amar Rav said Makim Pita. Shmuel Amar Shmuel said Makim Lina, like we just mentioned. Meisves. The Gemara asks the Kasha on Rav. Again, Rav says, how do you define a Makim for Chatzeros, Makim Pita, wherever you eat? Shmuel said, how do you define it? With regards to the place that you sleep. So the Gemara is going to ask a Kasha from a Braisa that's not discussing the laws of Chatzeros, but rather is discussing the laws of Tchumen, Haroyim, a shepherd, Vahakayotzin. These are people that used to watch figs dry for a living. Vahaburgenin, people that live in huts, Vishoimre Peirois, or just a good old fashioned Shoimre Kishuim. Bismanche Darkon Lolin Ba'ir. So these people, they used to go out into the Vald, this is where they work. They worked out of town, they would be outside the city limits, and you know, then they would come home at some point. So it says, the Braisa, as it relates to Eruvat Chumim, meaning what's their Makim Shvisa in terms of defining the Alpayim Amo? Is the Makim Shvisa where they work, or is the Makim Shvisa their house? Now, obviously, Hacha B'mayaskinon, where Bein Hashmasha is Friday night, they were out at work. Because otherwise it wouldn't be a shiloh. If they were home, they were home. But the case is where they were there, Mishakide Shalav Ayoy. So do we look at that as being their Makam Shvisa? So they have a Payim Amal Chol Ruach from that spot, wherever it is they work. Or do we look at them as if they're really home, and their Payim Amal Chol Ruach is based on their city? So the Bryce says it depends. Bizman Shedarkim Lolim Ba'ir, if they go home to sleep, Arein Ka'an Sheyoy. We look at them as if they live in the city, that's their Payim Amal Chol Ruach. Bizman Shedarkim Lolim Besadeh, if they sleep in the field, then Yeshlam Payim L'chol Ruach. Then they're defined based on there. Now, that's Pasha, they used to go home to eat. So if that's the case, they used to go home to eat. So they have a Makam Pita and they have a Makam Lina. The Makam Pita is their house, their kitchen. Their Makam Lina is they used to schlof out at work. And what does the Braisa say? As it relates to defining a Ruvit Chumin, if their derech is to sleep in the field, they have a Payim Amal Chol Ruach from their field. That's a raya to Makam Lina. It's a kasha on Rav. Rav said Makam Pita. Shmuel said Makam Lina. It's a Mefurish Braisa that seems to say Makam Lina, not Makam Pita. Now, granted, this Mishnah is talking about Tchumin. It's not talking about Chatzeris. But atzad Hashav Shabbat is we have to define this person's Makam. So is your Makam defined on Pita? Or is it defined on Lina? So the Gemara says it's different. Hassam over there, Anan Sahadi, the Mamtule Rifta Hassam Tve Nichaluhu. These people, being that they work out in the field, they're not really interested in going home to eat supper. They would prefer to have food there. The problem is, there's no delivery service that's going to get them their food. So they end up going home. But you want to know where they really want to be? Anan Sahadi is, they'd rather be on the road. And as a result, that's considered their makom. However, as opposed to somebody who, you don't have that svara of Anan Sahadi, adarabba, then you assume makom pita, that's Rav Shita. So the Gemara says, I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef heard this exchange. And Rav Yosef said, Lo Shmili, Hashmaita, I never heard this. Now, he was talking specifically about Rav Shita. That Rav who said Makom Pita, Rav Yosef said Makom Pita, Azach Yiddish, said, I never heard of Makom Pita. I'm like, Abaya. So Abaya painfully reminded him, as he did so often. He says, no, Rebbe, At Amrin Nahalan, you know this Shita. Not just that, I know, we know it from you. How do you think we know this Shita's Rav? We never, we don't know this from Rav. We know it from you, Abaya said. Vaho, Rav Yosef was a Talmud of Rav, right? He said, and this is what you told it to us. You were learning the Mishnah in Erevin, Dafayim Beis, Amid Beis. And you learned the Mishnah as follows. Each one has to make an Erev. We told you, isn't the Mishnah Rai Makam Lina Gairim? Right, the way we started the Gemara. From the fact that the brothers are viewed as separate entities, must be Makam Lina Gairim. Why? Because the understanding in the Havamim of the Gemara is that they all eat in their father's house. So the Makam Pita is the father's house. They sleep in their own house. Still, you see, it's an issue, albeit when there's a Migu. But at the end of the day, there's an Eruv Chatzer Sugya over here. Must be Makam Lina Gairim. The Amrit Lan Allah, Rabbi told Rabbi Yosef, you're the one that told us that you heard from Rav, that Amr Abiyud Amr Rav and Mekabli Prashanu, that really it's Makam Pita Shanu. And this mission was talking specifically where they were supported by their father, but they didn't physically eat in his house. As a result, their Makam Pita was also their own house. And that's why there's a Sugya of Eruv Chatzeres. Because Enichinami, if all it was Makam Lina, there wouldn't be a Shailos. So again, Abaya had to tell Rav Yosef, who had forgot his learning, he says, we only know Rav because of you. You're the one that told us Rav Shita. We thought that we had a riot from the Mishnah to Makam Lina, and really, you're the one that told us Makam Pita. Either way, the Gemara is going to continue on this theme in tomorrow's daf, a very geshmaka daf. But for now, as promised, to exhale and to go back to the raid that we spoke about at the beginning of the week, and that is a very classic daf, Erevin Daf Samach Tes, which discussed the halachos of a mechalel Shabbos befarhesia, who has a din of a yid, or does he have a din of a guy, as it relates to different halachos. Now, the exact context was a machloikis, Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, with regards to the Tzedukim. So the Tzedukim were, once upon a time, a very prominent sect within the Jewish world that believed in the Teresh HaBiksav, but they didn't believe in the Teresh HaBapeh. They didn't believe in the Messiah of Chazal. And they gave the Prushim, they gave the Chachamim a very, very difficult time. And there was a machlekes between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, and it was really based on the right nusach of a Maisa Shahoya Kachoya with Rabbi Gamliel and his father, whether the Tzedukim are treated like Yidin or whether they're treated like Nachrim. Reb Meir was of the opinion that the Tzedukim have a din of a Yid. Tzedukim are Yidin. And therefore, as it relates to Eruv Chatzeros, a Yid is allowed to be Mevatel his Rishos. A Tzeduki would be allowed to be Mevatel his Rishos. A Tzeduki can't be Meshtatav in an Erev because he doesn't believe in Erev. And if he doesn't believe in Erev, he can't be Meshtatav in Erev. But at the very least, he could be Mevatel your Rishos. In contrast to a guy who doesn't have the ability to be Mevatel his Rishos. And if you have a guy that's living in a Chatzah together with Yidin, the only way to make Eruv Chatzeros is if you do a Schir Asach. But the point is, Reb Meir said that the Tzedukim had Dinim of Yidin. And if they had Dinim of Yidin, there's no reason that Tzeduki wouldn't be able to be, at the very least, be Mevatel his Rishos to be able to facilitate Eruv Chatzeros. Reb Yehuda argued. Rabbi Yehuda said it's not true. And there was a stira in what exactly Rabbi Yehuda's position was. The Gemara asked the stira, and the Gemara said two terutzim to clarify Rabbi Yehuda's position. One shita was that Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that really Tzedukim have a din of a guy. Tzedukim have a din of a yid, have a din of a guy. So a Tzeduki, being that he's treated like a guy, does not have the ability to be mevatel as rishos regarding a Ruvich Hatzeris. If you live in a chatzah together with a Tzeduki, you have no choice but to do schiros the same way Adorim Akum. Schiros, this is the backdrop of the sixth parak of Masachta Zerivin, of the classic parak Adar. That's the way you'd have to treat a Tzeduki. You have to treat a Tzeduki the same way that you treat a Nachri. But there was another teretz the Gemara said. Iba Yisema, it could be, it depends. Sometimes a Tzeduki would be treated like a yid, and sometimes he's going to be treated like a guy. What does it depend on? If this Tzeduki, he behaves like a yid, you'll treat him like a yid. If, however, he's a mechalel Shabbos b'farhetzio, that's what the Gemara said. So then Rabbi Yehuda holds that this Tzeduki is going to be treated like a guy. And from there, the Gemara segue into a very important Gemara, often quoted, Erev and Daf Samech Tes requires an asterisk. This is the makar to this halacha of Mummer, specifically that a mechalel Shabbos b'farhetzio has a din of an Oved Avodah Zarah, and with regards to many areas in halacha, he's treated like an Ein Yehudi. Tosfos in the sugya and Daf Samech Tes Amud Aleph asks a very obvious question. He says that if anyone knows anything about the Tzedukim, they know that the Tzedukim did not accept the Messiah of Chazal. That's who the Tzedukim were. And if they didn't accept the Messiah of Chazal, that's pasha, they did their own thing. So he said, if they did their own thing, what's the shaila whether the Tzedukim were Mechalei Shabbos Mefarhesia, they weren't Mechalei Shabbos Mefarhesia, right? And the Ibai is saying in the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda says, sometimes the Tzedukim is a Yid, sometimes he's a guy. What does it depend on? If he's Mechalei Shabbos Betzino, then he's a Yid. If he's Mechalei Shabbos Mefarhesia, then he has a din of a guy. As if we're not sure whether the Tzedukim were Mechalei Shabbos Betzino Mefarhesia, or even any particular Tzedukim. Is he a Mechalei? How could it be such a sugya? It's poshit. The Tzedukim, we're not Mekabel the Messiah. And Tosfos says, I'll give you a checkmate argument. Because if someone's Mechal Shabbos Befarhesia, even by an Issa de Rabbanon, he has a din of an Oved Avodah Zarah. As I state in Tosfos, and the Poskim all say this Halacha L'maisa, because what Tosfos says. And that's the case, it's Pasha, that Tzedukim didn't listen to Chazal, they fought Chazal. So if they didn't listen to Chazal, they were Zichah Mechal Shabbos Befarhesia by Yisuri de Rabbanon. So what's this Sugi over here? Like Kasha, this is a Tzeduki like this, this is a Tzeduki like that. That makes sense. But there's a Tzeduki that sits and learns the whole day, there's no thing. The Tzedukim were the Tzedukim, they were who they were. The essence of them was is that they didn't accept the Messiah of Chazal. At the very least, they zichah didn't do the Derabbanan. So if that's the case, it's pasha, you would think that all the Tzedukim had a din of Mechalei Shabbos Befarhesia. So if they all had a din of Mechalei Shabbos Befarhesia, so Freik Tosfos Akasha, he says, doesn't understand how we're having a discussion about the Tzedukim, what they are, what they're not, about the Mechalei Shabbos Befarhesia. That's his kasha. Tosfos says that you have to say that maybe the Tzedukim were afraid. They were afraid of the Chachamim. And even though there were times they put up fights and they talked a big game, but at the end of the day, they were a shtickle afraid of the Chachamim. And it's very possible that the Tzedukim, as much as we know what they believed, but maybe they weren't really Mechalei Shabbos Farhesia. And if they weren't Mechalei Shabbos Farhesia, it wasn't Loi Shchiach to have Tzedukim that actually did the right thing. Now, what went on, Bechadri Chadarim, that's a different story. But They were afraid of the Chachamim. And because they were afraid of the Chachamim, it could be they didn't have a din. They could be they didn't have a din necessarily as Mechal Yishavos before Hesia. And that's why the Gemara says, it could be, the way you answer the Steer Rabbi Yehuda, is this is talking about a Tzuki that is a Mechal Yishavos before Hesia. This is talking about a Tzuki that's not Mechal. I thought all the Tzuki Mechal Yishavos before Hesia. Not necessarily. What do you mean? I thought that's who the Tzuki were. They were Yireyim Ibn Chacham. They had fear for the Chachamim. And as a result, it's very possible. The Beis Yosef, in Simon Shin Pei Hei, brings Tosfos Kasha. And the Beis Yosef says a different teretz. He learns it up in a Rambam, but the Beis Yosef says a different teretz. A teretz that was Marish Olamos, hundreds of years after the Beis Yosef wrote this. The Beis Yosef says, I don't think it's a kasha. Tosfos says, I don't understand. All the tztukim are Mechal Yishavos before Hesia. So after all Mechal Yishavos before Hesia, all the tztukim should have a din of goyim. Says the Beis Yosef, it's true that all the tztukim were Mechal Yishavos before Hesia. But why were they Mechal Yishavos before Hesia? Because their fathers were Mechal Yishavos for Hesia. And why were their fathers Mechal Yishavos for Hesia? So because their fathers were Mechal Yishavos for Hesia. They were raised as Mechal Yishavos before Hesia. He said, if someone's raised as a Mechal Yishavos before Hesia, being that it's Maisa V'yseyim B'yadeyim, Mayasa ben v'loyechta. What do you expect this child to do? He was raised in a house where this is what he was told was the right thing to do. So of course this is what he's going to do. Here's the punchline. He's ka'oinis, says the Beis Yosef. We treat him like an oinus. And as a result, he does not have a din of a Mechal Shabbos before Hesia. Says the Beis Yosef, if you want to know why the Tzdukim weren't treated like Mechal Shabbos before Hesia, he said because Mayasa ben v'lo yechta, they were ka oinus havo. The Maisa v'yseyim b'yadeyim v'havolei ketinik shenishba b'yno oivdei kechavim. You know when this Beis Yosef became very, very, very famous and very, very prominent? It was quoted by one of the most famous truvas written in the 19th century. It was written by Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger in his Shailas Teshuvas Binyan Tzion. And the Binyan Tzion, Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, of course, was the Baal Orech Laner. And he was asked a question about the Haskalah that had been raging through Europe. And there was a whole generation of children that were born into families where they were literally raised with Deos Koizvois, and they were Mechalei Shabbos, they were Oichel Nevelos Hatreifes, and they were really doing everything that a Yid is not allowed to do. And the question became, how do you treat these Yidden? They were Yidden. Do you treat them like Yidden, or do you treat them like any Yehudim? And as we spoke about previously, if they touch wine, does it become Yayin Nesech? I mean, all these different halachas. How are you supposed to treat the children of this daughter of the Haskalah? People that were living in the United States of America in the early 20th century. How are you supposed to view these people? Said the Aruch Laner, that it's pasha to me. He said that it's pasha to me that anyone that was born into a family where he was raised to be a Mechal Shabbos Befar Hesia, it's pasha he doesn't have a din of a Mechal Shabbos Befar Hesia. He says, why? He says, because he's Koinus Dami. And here's the punchline, Asher Nogei L'in Yoneinu. He says, Ma Gam Bibneim. These are people that they know nothing about Shabbos. He says, you know what they're like? They're like the tzedukim. They weren't treated like mumarim. Why? This Beis Yosef said Aruch Laner. He said, I think this whole generation of people living in Europe, he says, to me, I view them as a tinek shenishba ben agoyim. I think this is literally what the Beis Yosef was talking about. The Beis Yosef was talking about the tzedukim. He said, unfortunately, we're talking about the maskilim, but it's the same thing. The next generation, he says, what do you want from them? They're ka'anusim dami. We treat them as a tinek shenishba. They don't have a tinek shenishba. So this halacha tucked away here in Erev and Dafsam. It's Tosfos Kasha, and the Beis Yosef says a teretz the Tosfos Kasha on his Pirush on the Torah in Shin Pei Hei. This was the basis for the tshuva of Rav Yaakov Ettlinger, which in itself was the basis for so many tshuvas that were written by Gedolei Yisrael. There isn't a tshuva that was written discussing the halachic status of the maskilim and the children of the maskilim and everything that was going on in America, you know, during the first part of the 20th century that didn't quote this tshuva from the Binyan Tzion. So everyone was relying on the Binyan Tzion, and the Binyan Tzion was relying on the grace of Plates of Rabbi Yosef Cairo, of the Beis Yosef, and it was coming to answer Tosfos Kasha on our sugya, or at least 3 days ago sugya, and that is that the reason that Tzdukim weren't necessarily treated like, now if they were Mechal Shabbos before Hesia, he went and he said Rei on Shabbos, he's Chayrish on Shabbos, he's always like Gar from a guy maybe that was a year that was Mechal, you have to know. But the Bible, that's what Beis Yosef's story. He says, you want to know why we don't necessarily treat the Tzdukim like Mechal Shabbos before Hesia? The
reason is because the Ka'anusim, this is already second generation, third generation, the Tzduki movement began with Tzadokim Baisus, by the way, who were Talmid of Amantignus Ishsoichai, who was a Talmud of Shimon HaTzadik, who's from the first Tanam that I mentioned in Pirkei Avos, right? That's right in the beginning of Bayesheni. So this is a story that goes back hundreds of years. He says, you want to know now what the, at this time, where Rabbi Gamliel is dealing with, this is the hundreds of years of they're steeped in wrong Messiah. So what do you want from these children? So said to Beis Yosef, that's the reason, and this is what Rabbi Yaakov Entlinger based his tshuva on, and of course, all the tshuvas that follow Rabbi Yaakov Entlinger that relied on that. But I was thinking maybe to go with a little bit of a different derech, and it's pashut, and that is, again, Tosfos Kasha. How could it be that we're even having a discussion whether we should treat the Tzdukim as Tinik Shenishba, or we should treat the Tzdukim as Mechalei Shabbos for Hasya? Of course they were Mechalei Shabbos for Hasya. Everybody knows they didn't keep the Messiah. So if they didn't keep the Messiah, it should be obvious that they were Mechalei Shabbos for Hasya. Rashi in Masech Tzchulin Daf Hei Amud Aleph. This is tucked away. Rashi in Masech Tzchulin Daf Hei Amud Aleph explains why is it that someone that's Mechal Shabbos Befarhesia has a din of an Oved Avodah Zarah. Says Rashi. Again, it comes from a Rashi in Chulin Daf Hei Amud Aleph. Very important Maromachin. He says, Hay Tana Chamir Le Shabbos Ka Avodah Zarah. Why? The Oved Avodah Zarah Kofer BaKadosh Baruch Hu. Someone that's Oved Avodah Zarah, he denies the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's obvious. V'amechalol Shabbos, someone that's Mechalol Shabbos, Kofer B'maisav. He also denies the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Umeyit Sheker. And he's saying, Eidus Shalosh Shabbos HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'maisav Bereshis. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't really rest B'maisav Bereshis. So it says Rashi, you want to know why Kol Mechalo Shabbos Befarhesio has a din of an Oved Avodah Zarah. It's not just a melitza. It's a real thing. It actually makes sense. It's rational if you think about it. It's because someone that's Oved Avodah Zarah is denying essentially the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When somebody doesn't keep Shabbos, he's doing the same thing. Because Shabbos is Eidos. It's Vayichula Hashemayim Varetz V'chol Tzivam. You're saying Eidos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. If you are Mechalo Shabbos, then essentially you're made sheker shaloi shavas hakadosh baruch hu b'mayis b'reshis. The question is, why is it only a mechal Shabbos b'farhesia? Well, why don't you say the same thing about a mechal Shabbos b'tzina? It's the chasam soifas kasha in chelik vav and in the tshuvas, and Ramosha Feinstein has a teretz to this kasha. But again, the point is that the reason a Mechal Shabbos for Hesia has a din of an Oved Avodah Zarah is because essentially he's being Oved Avodah Zarah. An Oved Avodah Zarah denies the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's exactly what a Mechal Shabbos for Hesia is doing. The Aruch Haner, the Binyan Sin in that same tshuva said that based on this, I think it could be Melamed Tzchus on a lot of the Yidden that are Mechal Shabbos before Hesia. And he said, that is because he said, many of the Mechal Shabbos, he said, they used to be Mechal Shabbos. Rachman Olson, they would be Mechal Shabbos. But at the same time, they would make Kiddush, and at the same time they would daven, and maybe they would drive to shul, but they would daven. And being that they davened, and they made Kiddush, and they said, Vayichul HaShemayim Varetz V'chol Tzivam, how could you say that when he's Mechal Shabbos, he's denying the existence of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch created? It's not true. He wouldn't make Kiddush if he didn't believe in it. He wouldn't keep Shabbos the times that he does keep Shabbos. These were people that were unfortunately tortured. They were in a tough spot. But at the end of the day, the reason a Mechal Shabbos Befarhesi has a din of an Oved Avodah Zarah is based on a svara. It's rooted in something. It's rooted in the concept. It's rooted in the idea that at the end of the day, when you're Mechal Shabbos Befarhesi, you're denying the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. But said the Aruch Haner, in these cases, there's raglaim l'dover that they're not denying the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if there's a raglaim l'dover that they're not denying it, he said there's no way in the world that this can be used against them. And if that's the case, meaning if Mechal Shabbos Befarhesi didn't come, Oved Avodah Zarah was a din. It's a prosta din. Okay, it's a din, it's a din, it's a din. You can't argue with a din. But it's not a din, it's a svara. So to the extent you have the svara, you apply the halacha. But if you don't have the svara, you don't apply the halacha. This svara of the Aruch Haner was also quoted a lot. It was quoted by Reb Shimon Sofer in this Iris Tshuva. He said it a little bit different. This is Reb Shimon Sofer, the lawyer of the Ksav Sofer's son. He said that, let's say a person doesn't even know that Shabbos has anything to do with the fact that Hashem created the world, and that person's Mechal Shabbos for Hesia. See, could you apply this Rashi in Chulin Daf Hei and Aleph? You're going to tell me he's Meir Shekesh Lo Yishavas HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'maisa. He doesn't even know what you're talking about. He says, come again? I don't even know what you're talking about. He says, he knows that they rest, Shabbos a day off, you recharge, spirit, whatever. He does. A person that doesn't fully grasp and dare what's going on, how could he be included in this halacha? So I was thinking, the Tzedukim kept Shabbos. Shenemol, they kept Shabbos. Now even Tzedukin keep Shabbos. They kept Shabbos more than we keep Shabbos. Right? Well, you know all the different chumers they used to keep. They didn't have lights in their house. That's why we eat cholent. The Rav Shlomo HaKoyim Vilna that we spoke about, that's why in their Beis Yodiv, they didn't have Tashmish on Shabbos based on Anon, the Koifer that the Ebenezer quotes in Parshas Vayakel, Becharish Vakatsa Tishbois. That's why the Vilna Goyen said, the Oin of the Talmud Chochem is Milal Shabbos, Lel Shabbos. It's Lahoisim, Liban Shal Tzedokim. Right? The Rambam in Hilcha Shabbos, when he says that you have to be Michal Shabbos to save a person's life, he says, not like the Tzedukim, that they wouldn't be Michal Shabbos to save a person's life. They were much frummer in many regards than Hilcha Shabbos. So Tzedukim goes out, he's Michal Shabbos. You're going to tell me he's denying my Sibirish? It's not true. He keeps Shabbos. He has a different Nusach his Shabbos. He doesn't keep your Shabbos. Avadan Aloch is a Michal Shabbos before Hesia. But again, if you're telling me a Michal Shabbos before Hesia, in Din is Koivet Avodah Zarah. So it's checkmate. Dos Tois Vis Kasha. But once we opened up the door, the Binyan Tziyah, the Sairis Chuv, and all the other Achroinim that worked with this Svara, to tell me that it's not necessarily the case that just because someone is an Oivet Avodah Zarah, or someone's Michal Shabbos for Hesia has a Din of an Oivet Avodah Zarah, it's Zilbas a time. It's only to the extent that you have the Svara. But the moment that you don't have the Svara, this Aloch is not necessarily going to be the case. So then already you can say Svara Aloch. So then you can say Mechatesi, the Tztukim. I think it'd be stark and welcome to say that they didn't have a Michal Shabbos for Hesia. If they didn't have a din of Michal Shabbos for Hesia, so it's for that reason, L'chayra Yesh Loimar, that would be a Teretz Tais. Again, Tais came with Akasha. What was Tais with Akasha? What's the Shaila whether the Tztukim were Michal Shabbos for Hesia? Of course the Tztukim were Michal Shabbos for Hesia. L'chayra Yesh Loimar, other. Although the Beis Yosef's Teretz, the Beis Yosef said, because they had a din of Tinoikah Shenishbu, could be, you could say, based on the raid of the Binyan Tzion and the other Gedolei Achroinim, that the only time a Michal Shabbos before Hesi has a din of a guy is only if he's denying Maisa Bereshis by virtue of the fact that he's being Michal Shabbos. But to the extent that he's not denying Maisa Bereshis by virtue of the fact that he's keeping Shabbos, then he doesn't have a din of a guy. This is a koyach tehetera that was used by the Gedolei Chacham. So incidentally, we mentioned two big koyach teheteras as it relates to this whole shmuz of a Michal Shabbos for Hesia. We mentioned on the Samach Tes from Yehuda Asad in the Shailos Hachuvas Yehuda Yala in Archaim and Simon Nun, who said a tremendous svara. He said that the only way you can make someone a mummer is if two Edom would walk into Bezdin and they would say, Edos, Shi'iyat, Yochel, Azimah, Edos, real Edos, with Drishas and Chakiris, that I'm telling you, this person is a mummer. He says, you can't make someone Pasol Edos. You can't make someone Choshed al Hashvu unless two Edom walk into Bezdin. We don't trust rumors when it comes to paskening on a person. You don't trust rumors when it comes to paskening on $100. So you're going to passel a person, you're going to dismiss him, you're going to tell him he doesn't have a din of a yid based on a rumor. You need Edom to walk into Bezdin. This was the chiddush of the Yehuda Yala that Rabbi Yehuda Asad said. This is, we're mentioning today, another tremendous koyach teteru that the Binyan Tzion and another Achroinim said, and that is that it could be a person that's Michal Shabbos for Hesia, but we have Raglayim Mudavar. He makes this aspect of his life that prove that he believes in the Eivishta. The moment that we have reason to believe that he really believes in the Eibishter, certainly if it's related to Shabbos Minei Ubei, even though he's Mechal Shabbos for Hesia, he's not going to have a din of a guy. It's just interesting. That the Mincha Soluza, the Minkatcher Rebbe in a tshuva, spoke about this whole inyan, and the Mincha Soluza really took it from the other angle. Not so much from the Koyach Teheterah. This is in Shailos HaTshuvas Mincha Soluza. It's Chelag Aleph. It's Siman Ayin Dalet, and it's interesting that tshuva. In that shuvah, he brings the Archon, and he brings the Chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda Asad, and he's doicha both of the Chiddush of B'shtei Yadayim. Very, very sharp. In fact, if you take a look at the shuvah of the Binyan Tzion inside, so it's in Chelek Beis, it's Simen Chav Gimel. That's what this famous shuvah is. It's in Chelek Beis, Simen Chav Gimel, and there's a little heading on top of the shuvah. It says, Psokim Shaloi LaHalacha LaMaisa. That's what it says. Psakim Shaloi LaHalacha LaMaisa. And there's a little bit of a confusion where that came from. Like, who even wrote that? Did Aruch HaNeh wrote that? Like, where exactly did that come? So I'll just read you that one excerpt in this tshuva from the Minchas Aluza. He says, V'yafa asu ha-moitza l'ar b'binyin tziyon, she'himidu ha-tshuva ahu b'simen chav gimel, ashe nitfas mikoydem l'simen ahu, she'me'oz v'holo nitfas hu psakim Shaloi LaHalacha LaMaisa. It says, very good they put it there, because that's where it belongs. It's psakim Shaloi LaHalacha LaMaisa. That's what the Minchas Aluza said. As it relates to Rabbi Yehuda Asad, he says that the Timhesi, he says very stark l'shoynus against Rabbi Yehuda Asad's chiddush. But either way, that's the Minchas Aluza. But the truth is that Roiv Gedolei Achroinim quoted this Minchas, this Binyan Tzion, Everyone brings this binyan si in some tish. It's something that's very, very much used as a koyach de tera. It's as a koyach of benkach u benkach kriyim bonim to be malamet schus on yidin. That at the end of the day, there's many, many svaras that were used. And this shailas hachuvas Yehuda Yalor Yehuda Asad is one. It's sometimes quoted, what's often quoted is this tshuva from the binyan tzion. Either way, Metz Hashem will do a part 3 tomorrow.